Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Amud Aleph, 10 lines down. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman v'Rav Chista de'amrei tarvayu. Rav Nachman and Rav Chista both say, Hamagbia mitziyah lechaviro, lo kana chaviro. Person who picks up a lost object on behalf of his friend, he's not successful at acquiring it on behalf of his friend. This is not where he intends for himself as well, where he makes a kinyan. His only kinyan was to pick it up on behalf of his friend. That kinyan is not successful. My time up. What's the reasoning behind Rav Nachman or Rav Chista's position? Have a tofes de balchov b'makom shechav l'acherim. It is or falls into the category of someone who grabs on behalf of a creditor, but by doing so, he does it at the expense of other creditors. Person who makes a move that benefits one of the parties, one of the creditors, at the expense of the other creditors, lo kana, he's not kone. We know that the concept of zochin shadam shlo b'fanav. One can merit another party even when they're not there. If you do something that's beneficial for another party, there is a kinyan, the action or your activity is successful on behalf of this other party. That's only true when that zchut, when that benefit that you are accruing or doing on behalf of the other party is solely to the benefit of the other party without an expense or detriment to another party. The problem here is that if you have land that the debtor has or some possession that the debtor has and then you go and confiscate it on behalf of one of the creditors, then yes, you're zoche, you're doing something that's meritorious for one of the creditors, but on the other hand, the other creditors suffer. Or it's to the detriment of the other creditors because you're taking, whether it's money, collateral, and giving it to one specific creditor versus the other creditors who now lose out. And therefore, you're not allowed to be tofes. You're not allowed to take something on behalf of another party where that will work into the detriment of other parties. So now it's important here that we're speaking about an individual who is not a party to the transaction. They are not a creditor here. If they themselves were a creditor and they took it, that they can't do. They could take something for themselves, for their own benefit, even though it's to the detriment of the other parties. What the person here is doing is acting without any nigiyah. He has no connection to the transaction. Simply, he's going in there and benefiting one of the creditors. He wants to act on behalf of one of the creditors. That does not work because you are to face the bachol, v'makom shechav l'acherim, and that's not koneh. Rashi says over here, like he does in other places in Shas, that's only because you are doing it derech zchiyah. You're doing this without the instructions of the creditor and without the creditor appointing you as a shliach. But had the creditor appointed you an official shliach, then just like the creditor himself can take things to his benefit despite the detriment to other parties, so too the shliach, the proxy, can act on behalf of the creditor and take it despite the fact that it's detrimental to other parties. Tosafot in the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. It's also a sugya on Daf Yud Aleph in Ketubot as well. But there Tosafot makes it clear that he disagrees with this position of Rashi. And that's because Tosafot believes that Zchiyah is Mishum Shlichut. The whole way that Zchiyah works is that we assign you or make you as if you are a Shliach. As if you gain status as a proxy, as an agent, not because he appointed you, but because since you're doing something for his benefit, it's as if you were his agent or proxy, because that's what he would want. So Tosafot says, well, if Zchiyah doesn't work over here, and Zchiyah is Mishum Shlichut, then Shliach himself can't be any better than Shlichut. And for that reason, he says that even if you point someone as a Shliach, they cannot act on your behalf to the detriment of other creditors. It's only you. If you send a proxy or an agent in there, he has no rights to acquire on your behalf to the detriment of other parties. Tosafot there disagrees with Rashi. On Daf Yud Aleph in Gittin, we discussed that the whole premise of the Tosafot is that Zchiyah is Mishum Shlichut. We mentioned that the Ktzot HaChoshen and others point out that if you think that Zchiyah is Mishum Yad, that Zchiyah works not functionally because of shlichut, but some other mechanism, then you don't have that problem. Then you can separate between zchiyah and shlichut, and obviously that will be Rashi's position here, that zchiyah is not mishum shlichut, and therefore shliach is differentiated from the case of zchiyah. But Rashi here, l'shitato, says, shelo asa uto anusei shliach litfos, He makes it clear that you did not make him into an agent. That's why it doesn't work. Implying that if you did make him into an agent, it would work. And Tosafot here, Lashitato, says, Mashem Perish Rashi, Mishum Shloach Shloach, Ein Nira. Says it doesn't make sense, it's not right, because of Tosafot's reasoning that he gives in Gitin, Yud Aleph and Bet, which is that if Zchiyah is Mishum Shlichut, then Shliach himself can't work, because it can't be any better than Zchiyah that doesn't work, and that's already Shlichut. So that's the machloket here between Rashi, Tosafot, and many of the other Rishonim, as to whether you can appoint a Shliach to do this. But the failure here is that the Mitziah is something hefker. Anybody could pick it up. So when you go ahead and pick it up on behalf of another party, you're doing it to his benefit, but to the detriment of all other parties that could possibly pick it up. And so therefore it's deemed to be a tofes t'bachov b'makom shechav li'acherim. Eitzvei Rova the Rav Nachman. So over here, Rova challenges Rav Nachman's statement. It's a little difficult here, as Tosafot points out. Afagav de la'el, back on Daf Chet, Dochi Rava diyuke de Rami Bar Chama, that he knocked off the diyuk of Rami Bar Chama, Mashma, the Sabar Lokana Chaveiro. Sounds like Rava believes, like Rav Nachman over here, like Rav Chist over here, that someone who is Magbia Mitzia de Chaveiro, Lokana Chaveiro, because he rejects the position of Rami Bar Chama, which says the opposite. So, why is it that Rava all of a sudden here is challenging Rav Nachman, which means that he's basically on both sides of the situation? When Rami Bar Chama says it is niknate, he says, what are you talking about? And asks a question on it. Rav Nachman says it's not niknate, and then all of a sudden he asks a question on Rav Nachman. So he's taking neither position. It's very possible that that might be right. That Rava is pointing out that neither position is so clear, and he's questioning it in both cases. Tosafot over here makes a suggestion that Mashma de Savar lo kana chaveiro, Shema kibla hacha mi Rav Nachman. He says, maybe here, his question that he poses to Rav Nachman answers, and once he got the answer from Rav Nachman, that became his position, and that's why he asked on Rami Bar Chama. So Tosafot leads in favor of Rava following the position of Rav Nachman, and saying that over here, he might have learned something from Rav Nachman, and that's why his position by Rami Bar Chama is just the opposite. So now Rava says to Rav Nachman, Mitziat po'el le'atzmo. When a worker works on behalf of the Bala Bayit and he finds something, then he keeps it. Bamed v'imamurim. When is that true? Bizman shamalo Bala Bayit nikesh imi hayom. Weed with me today. Adur imi hayom. Ho, work the field with me today. Avala marlo asei imi melachayom. If he gave a more generic statement, work with me today, mitziato shel Bala Bayitu. Then the mitziah goes to the Bala Bayit. Because when he specifies the work that he wants the laborer to engage in, then that's solely what he's hired to do that work or that labor. So then when he finds a mitziah that's outside of the job description, and therefore he can keep the mitziah for himself. Then if he uses the more generic term of esei mi melacha, work for me, that implies any type of work. Whatever I need you to do today, you're going to do. And that means that if he picks up a mitziah, he's acting or working on behalf of the Bala Bayit. That's within the job description that he has given him. And that's why it accrues to the Bala Bayit. So what you see from here is that the Po'el is able to pick something up on behalf of the Bala Bayit. He picks up a mitziah, and the mitziah then accrues or is given to the Bala Bayit. The Bala Bayit has a kinyan on it. So how does that work? Here's the Po'el acting on behalf of the Bala Bayit, and he is successful at acquiring the mitziah for the Bala Bayit. So that would be a question on this position that says, Amagbiya mitziyah l'chaveiro lo kana chaveiro. Here it sounds like kana chaveiro. He says, Amalei, shiny poel, deyado kiyad bala bayitu. A poel is functioning not as a proxy or as a shliach, but rather as the bala bayit himself. He's just a longer arm or reach of the bala bayit. He is the yad bala bayit. Amarav, poel yacholach zorbo afilu b'chatzi ayom. He says back to him, wait a minute. A poel can back out of his labor at any point during the day. He has a right to walk off the job. So if that's the case, it sounds like the poel is not an extension of the Bala Bayit because of the fact that he can terminate the relationship at any moment. Amalei, kokama d'lo hadarbe kiad Bala Bayitu. You're right. He can walk off the job at any time, but as long as he's still engaged and he's working for the Bala Bayit, then he's an extension of the Bala Bayit. So Rav Nachman says back to him, as long as he is not backed out of their relationship is that the Poel is an extension of the Balabait. So now, the assumption up front was that the reason that the Poel can back out of the transaction is because we allow him to do whatever is beneficial to himself. So we want him to garner the highest wages. So in a situation where he's getting paid and he sees a better opportunity, we want him to be able to take up that opportunity. So it sounds like from this that the Poel can walk off the job to gain or to get things that are better for him. And so what Rava's question is, well then why doesn't that apply to Metziah? Forget about necessarily walking off the job, but his ability to walk off the job to benefit himself, so too by Metziah, he should be able to walk off the job temporarily, get the Metziah, and then come back to his job, because we're looking out for the best interests of the Poel. So that's the nature of Rava's question. Rav Nachman's retort is, as long as he works for the Balabait, then he's subject to the rules of being a Poel, which is that he's Yad Balabait. The reason he can walk off the job has nothing to do with the benefit that he could get from walking off the job, but rather, because of Gzeirat HaKatuv, Ki Hadar Bei, when he walks off the job, Taima Achrinahu Dichtib. That stems from another reason. The Pasuk says, Ki Li V'nei Yisrael Avadim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about B'nei Yisrael, they are my servants. Avadai Heim, V'lo Avadim L'Avadim. They are my servants and not servants to servants. Meaning that nobody can subjugate them. And because of that, they have a right to walk off the job and leave at any time because they are not avadim. Since they're not avadim, they have a right to leave at will. So it's interesting because now the answer is that it's a gzeirat haketuv that it can walk off. But that means that it does not affect their relationship prior to that point. It's not that we're looking out for the best interest of the poel at all times. It's simply a gzeirat haketuv that since you cannot be subjugated, therefore you can only be hired at will. And since you're going to be hired at will, the Torah says you have a right to walk away at any time. But that right to walk away at any time does not change the fact that your relationship until that point is a relationship of a adon and poel, and the poel is working as the yad ha-adon. And if he picks up a mitziah, it will go to the adon because we're not looking out for the best interests of the poel, simply that he has a right to walk away, not a right then to take anything that accrues to his benefit. So in a case where he is hired by the Balabayit to work for the Balabayit generically, then when he picks up the mitziah, it's picked up as if the Yad Balabayit picked it up. In the scenario where he's hired for a particular type of work, then it's not within the purview of his job description. If he picks up the mitziah, he can keep it. As Rashi notes over here, he will have to deduct from that the pay that he would have accrued during that period of time. If he's supposed to be weeding, or if he's supposed to be hoeing in the field, and he stops to go pick up the mitziah, which he collects for himself, he has to stop the clock then, and then only start the clock afterwards. He'll have to refund the baal for that time that he utilized to pick up the mitziah. So there is a cost-benefit analysis that he has to do as to whether it's worth giving up the wages to go pick up the mitziah, if it's really worth the time or the money to pick up the mitziah, because he's going to lose wages in that interim period. Rava thought that that indication of the fact that he can walk up the job at any point meant that the poel should have the upper hand in all situations. If that's the case, he should be able to pick up the mitziah even when he is under the auspices of the baal. Elaim Cain, you say that the way it's functioning over here is that he's picking it up and on behalf of the baal, and the baal gets it. He's not the yada baal. And so the Rav Nachman answered him, that's not the case. The reason he can walk off the job is a gzeirat haketuv. The relationship remains a relationship of an extension or of the baal. Right, first of all, Tosfot over here notes that because of this pasuk, he says nearly, "Dimikom makom mutar adam laskir atzmo," that a person is allowed to hire himself out. From the pasuk of "Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim," it makes it sound like you're allowed to work for yourself. You're not allowed to work for anyone else. So that would preclude you from being a poel because you'd be in violation of "Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim." So Tosfot says that's not true. "Tadavke eved ivri sheinu yachol lachzor bo." The only restriction is against an eved ivri who's putting himself into servitude without the ability to walk away from that servitude. That's someone who is violating the restriction. On the other hand, someone who puts themselves into a position of being a poel, but has the right to leave at will, that's not a violation of Kilei B'nei Yisrael Avadim, because of the fact that he can walk at will. In essence, the Gzeirat HaKatuv allows him to walk at will, which is also makes it permissible for him to enter in such a relationship. The Gemara in Kiddushin, when it speaks about the restriction of Kli B'nei Yisrael Avadim, uses that to explain why the Eved Ivri who stays until the Yovel, meaning after his term has expired and he decides to stay on as a Eved Nirtza, why is his ear pierced? Because he violates the restriction of Kili B'nai Yisrael Abadim. Tosfot over here says that it's even for the initial stages of Eved Ivri, there's a violation. You can see the Ot Aleph and the Gro brings from others that maybe the restriction only starts after, if you do it more than 3 years, more than a certain period of time, then it would become problematic. But you can understand that there's a certain amount of tension between allowing a person to work and not be considered a slave versus someone who is now a slave, which would be in violation of this restriction to put himself in such a position. Also note that Rav Shach, when speaking about the issues of addiction, including smoking, he said the source for the fact that it's Asr Min HaTorah is from this pasuk of Ki Li Bnei Yisrael Avadim, that you are an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not of Eved Avadim, and not a servant to a servant. A person is not allowed to subjugate themselves to anything where they can at will walk away from it. And since addictions are things that a person cannot leave at will, that's a violation of the Din Doraita of Ki Li Bnei Yisrael Avadim. Because now you're making yourself an Eved to something else, and it's a violation of that Isur Doraita. Now, Tosfot also points out that the Kamash Malon of the Gzeret HaKatuv is that when the Poel walks off the job, he gets the upper hand. You would have thought that maybe the Poel has a right to walk out on the job, but then he has to negotiate with the Baal to compensate him for the loss. I mean, the Baal hired him at a certain rate. The rates went up over the day. The guy walks off the job, the Baal is now going to have to hire someone at a higher rate to fill in the rest of the day. So it could have been that the Baal could penalize the Poel and say to him, listen, you walked off halfway, you will only get what I have left over from replacing you for the remainder of the day. I promised you a certain sum of money. That sum of money now I'm going to have to use to pay for the other Poel. Whatever I use up for him, that'll be gone and the remainder will be to you. You could have thought that. The Gzeret HaKatuv says no, that the Poel has the upper hand even when he walks off the job and he gets fully paid for the hours that he was there. He gets paid and he can walk off even if rates went up. And now the Baal HaBayit is going to have to pay more. That's not the Poel's problem. The Gzeret HaKatuv gives him the right to walk off at will and with the upper hand. And that he does not lose any of his wages because he walked off the job. That is the Gzeret HaKatuv. So now we have Rabbi Yochanan with the opposite position to Rav Chista and Rav Nachman, which is, Amagbia mitziyah lechaviro, kana chaviro. You are successful. V'im tomar mishnatenu. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that the guy is riding on a donkey, and he says to his friend, pick up the mitziyah on my behalf, and it fails. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, how do I explain what happened in the Mishnah here? Why does it fail? He should be able to pick it up on behalf of his friend and acquire it on behalf of his friend. So he says, "V'im tomar mishnatenu damar tzneili v'lo mar tzcheili." He says that in the Mishnah it says, "Give it to me, not acquire it on my behalf." It's important how you phrase it, because if you simply say, "Give it to me," you're not asking him to acquire to make a kinyan on your behalf. If you say "tzcheili," acquire it on my behalf, then when he picks it up, he can acquire it on your behalf. The failure here is in the instruction, not in the ability to do such a thing. Tosfot points out that we already learned in the Gemara in Gittin that Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol ha'omer tznu, komer zechu. That when you say tznu, it's the equivalent or synonymous with saying zechu. So if that's the case, saying tnei over here is the same as saying kenei. And why does it fail? So Tosfot raises something that I've mentioned before. Tosfot loves to mention this, and he invokes this in many, many scenarios to explain the difference in opinions or halachot, which is that we're talking about something different over here. We're talking about a mitziyah. When you're talking about an object, when you're talking about mekel chomemkar, there's a dat makneh. There's a koneh and a makneh, and therefore, tnei is the equivalent of zechei. On the other hand, when you're talking about picking up a mitziyah, over there, you have to compensate for the fact that there is no dat makneh. There's nobody giving you the object. You're picking it up from hefker. So the threshold of kinyan is higher there, because of the fact that you have nobody granting it to you, you're simply picking it up. And that's where Tosfot says it fails over here, because you need to say kenei, and even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that we don't say that tenei and kenei are synonymous in that scenario, because you need to be very clear about what you want this individual to do, because in the case where it's another party granting you the right, So you simply say, Tznei, give it to me. It's clear the fact that he's giving it and you're acquiring it that there's a kinyan going on. So that Tznei can function as a Zchei. On the other hand, when you say, Tznei, give me that thing's on the ground, there's no other party giving it to you when the Metziah is on the ground. And so therefore you need to be very clear that the acquisition is not simply pass it to me, but rather Zchei, pick it up as a kinyan for me. And that's why it fails over here by the Metziah, despite the fact that it works by Mekach u'Memkach. Alright, next Mishnah. Ra'at ha-Metziah v'nafal aleha. He sees the Metziah on the ground and he dives on it to get it for himself. U'ba'acher ve'echzik ba. Another guy comes and just picks it up nicely. And ze'she'echzik ba zachaba. The guy who picked it up is zochenet. The guy who landed on it or jumped on it does not get anything from that. Gemara will explain this because of a takanat chachamim that applies by peyah. And from peyah, it'll clarify the Mishnah, which is Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Abba Kohen Bardula. Reish Lakish says over in the name of Abba Kohen Bardula, who makes a couple of cameo appearances in Shas. We're going to see him twice on today's daf, although he's not frequently found in Shas. Arba amot shel adam konot lo b'chol makom. A person's sphere, arba amot, personal space around him, a circumference of arba amot, is koneh on his behalf, maitaima, takinu rabbanan delati l'insuye. The reason being that the rabbanan instituted this so people will not come to fight. They will have personal space. Things in those personal space will be theirs, and people won't come try to grab it away. They won't be fighting over this because it'll be clear that anything's within their personal space belongs to them. The question of where this is functional or where this is successful is not so clear. The Rishonim disagree and argue about when Arba Amot worked or where the Chachamim instituted it. You can already see in Tosafot, he's already trying to clarify that. He says, "Ve'yesh lamar de'gneiva lo takinu rabbanan." The Kanani Elo B'Mitziah, Toloi Alitili and Tsuye. Chamim didn't institute this by Gneva. It was only instituted by Mitziah in order to protect against fighting. So Gneva, where there's no issue of fighting, or we don't really care if you fight by Gneva because you're doing the wrong thing, there they didn't institute it. By Mitziah, where there could be fighting, there we did institute it to protect against people quarreling over these things and arguing whether it's in my space or your space. Ubeget Mishumiguna. By get, they allowed it to work because of iguna, that we didn't want agunot. So therefore, if the Baal throws the getter and it lands within her for amot, we consider it an acquisition. That has two implications. One, that it works by get. Number two is that means that it works even d'oraita. So even though this is an institution, the Rabbanan, it's successful at working even d'oraita. So you have to say that their institution makes a change that is even effective d'oraita in order that a get would go through in that situation. So Tosfot over here says it works by Metziah and Get. It doesn't work by Gneva. The question of Mekach u'Memkach is argued amongst the Rishonim as to whether in transactions, in regular commerce, does the same thing apply? Does that Arba Amot apply or does not apply? And you have differences of opinions amongst the Rishonim as to whether that institution was valuable or necessary there. There, you don't going to end up fighting about things, so it's less needed. Or do we say simply that the Chamim established wherever it is functional and it can work, the Chachamim instituted it, as long as it's to the benefit of the parties that are there, and then by Mechach u'Memkach, it might be to their benefit, so it also applies over there. But that's a more general question. Here we're dealing with the cases of Metziah or Hefker, where we're using the Dalet Amot, and so here it has a narrower scope. The question of the Rishonim is, how do we extrapolate it from that to other areas? We know that the Mishnayot clearly say it works by Get, and so we know by Get and Metziah it works. The question is, beyond that, does it work? So Amar Abaye, motiv Rabbi Chir by Yosef Peah, that Rabbi Chir by Yosef challenges this statement of Reish Lakish from Peah, and Abarova motiv Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi Nizikin. And Rava says that Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi asks from Nizikin, whether Nizikin means Seder Nizikin or Masechet Nizikin, but it means from our Mishnah here in Baba Metziah. Amar Abaye, so now we'll explain. Motiv Rabbi Chir by Yosef Peah, he asks from Peah, Natal Miksat Peah Vizarak Alashar. If he took a portion of the peyah, picked it, and then he throws it on the other area of peyah. Poor person's picking the peyah, and then he takes what he picked and he throws it on other stuff in order to acquire the other peyah that's there. Ein lo baklum. He gets nothing. Nafalo aleha. If he fell onto the peyah, again, he dove onto the peyah and says, it's all mine. Paras talito aleha. Or he takes off his cloak and he spreads it across the peyah. Ma'avirin ota haimenu. We take him off of the peyah. We do not give him a kinyan over here. The Rambam and the Rosh and many other Rishonim believe here when you say Mavirin Oto Hemena, that means he loses everything. Not only that which he covered or landed on top of, but even the stuff that he picked before, because of a knas that he tried to acquire in a method or a way that is not viable, he loses everything because the Chachamim wanted to prevent fighting. And when you do this, you actually are probably causing more problems when you do this, because you're trying to acquire at the expense of other people, and you're not utilizing the Takanat Chachamim. So for that reason, he's mufka min hakol. Mavirin otam imenu means you take everything away, and we say you're disgorge all the payad that you took. V'chein ba'omer shechacha. And the same thing is true by shechacha, the same halachot would work. V'yamart arba amot shel adam konot lo b'chol makom. If you tell me, like Rish Lakish brought, that arba amot shel adam koneh, niknole arba amot today. Why doesn't his arba amot work over here? When he throws himself on it, when he throws his talit on it. His arba amot should work over here. Why is it that he loses out on these items? Achamai skinan, delo amar aknei. Because he didn't say, I'm acquiring it. He said, he didn't turn on the mechanism of arba amot. You have to turn the switch on. How do you turn the switch on? Aknei, that I'm acquiring through my arba amot. Where it says, v'it tikun rabbanan, kilo amar my habi. If it's an institution of the Rabbanan, it should be irrespective of whether you turn it on or don't turn it on. It should be always engaged. The whole idea is that your Abramot are koneh for you without having to do anything, without having to say anything. So the Gemara answer is, Kevan de nafal, galidate de nefila nechale, de nikne be Abramot lo nechale, de nikne. So when he falls on it, he's basically equivalent again, I always use the example of a penalty in football, which is that you have a penalty, but you've gained more without the penalty. So you can waive the penalty in that case, because the penalty is not to your benefit. So over here, the person is doing this, unbeknownst to himself, he's doing this, which is that the Chachamim granted him the right to acquire through Arba Amot. He goes in and throws himself down on the stuff, or he throws his stuff on or his talit on it. By doing that, he is waiving his right to use his Dalet Amot Kinyan and using another Kinyan. Kinyan that he uses is fails. It doesn't work. So we say he has to disgorge the items because his Kinyan failed. And his Arba Amot basically was waived because he tried to use this other form of Kinyan. And that means that he didn't invoke his right to use the Arba Amot. Now again, if he did nothing, it would turn on automatically and it would work automatically. But since he utilized this Galidate, he made it clear that he was trying to do it this other way. That mafkia takes away the right to utilize his arba amot. But Papa Mar, kita kinole rabbanan arba amot be almo besade de balabait lo takinole rabbanan. Where the rabbanan instituted arba amot, that's in a generic place. Rashi writes, kugon simta shul v'shut tochol adam, like a side street, which is belongs to anyone or is free access to anyone. O v'shut rabim, or in the public domain. Oh, but see, they reshut rabim, on the sides of the reshut rabim. V'hi efke al rabim, nimshoch l'tocha, hatzrichim letzeit min adchak. Because the tzidei reshut rabim are given an area that is permitted to be used when there's too much traffic in the reshut rabim and you need to get around it, then you're allowed to utilize the tzidei reshut rabim. So all of these are areas that everyone has rights to utilize. In those places, the arba amot work. When you're in the field of the bala sadeh, you are now competing with the bala sadeh's rights over there. And even though the Torah gave him a right to go in the field and pick up the leket, the shichcha, the pe'ah, all these items, nevertheless, what it gave him is an easement right. The easement right is you have rights to enter the field. It does not give you ownership rights in the field or acquisition rights in the field. And that's what the Gemara says over here. And even though the Torah gives him a right to go into the field and to collect the pe'ah, they gave him a right of entrance. They gave him a right of an easement to get to whatever he needs to get to. Lunkute peya, and to collect the peya. The Torah doesn't make it into his area or his field then, and therefore his arba amot are not meaningful in that context because of the fact that arba amot require you to have ownership around you. So you can exert ownership in places where nobody else's ownership is directly in competition with your ownership. So in Rishut Rabim, where everybody has rights, you can exert your ownership of your Arba Amot over there, even though others have that same right of Arba Amot, but as long as you were there first, your Arba Amot will acquire on your behalf. There are Rishonim who believe that your Arba Amot only work if you were there before the item as well. If the item precedes you, then maybe your Arba Amot don't work in that scenario because you haven't established your Arba Amot before the item comes into that area. Although there are many Rishonim believe that even after the item's there, you can go to Arba Amot. Again, if there's someone else there at the same time, then whoever was there first establishes their Arba Amot first. But again, in private areas, in private fields, your Arba Amot are not meaningful because the ownership is the Bala Chatzer and you can't override that ownership. So your Arba Amot are no longer relevant in that scenario. And that's why by Peah, we can't invoke this principle of Arba Amot. There is an alternate gear, so you can see here in the Gra, which is not that Takinu Rabbana Arba Amot Be'alma. That's the way that we have it, and the way that Rashi described it, which means outside the context of a field. The alternate girsa, which the Gra brings over here, which is the girsa Tarif in the Rambam, is that bestay the Alma in a regular field. That obviously has nafkaminot, because what it's saying here is that in a regular field or general fields, you do have the right to exercise your Arba Amot. It's only when you're coming to collect in Peah, or Leket Shekha Peah, the Matnot Aniim, over there, you're only granted a right of easement to enter, but not your Arba Amot. So that would be that it's a much broader scope of where your Arba Amot work, according to that. Because it works even in private fields, as long as it's not a field in which you're going in, or the right to go in there is because of the Matnot Aniim. In other scenarios, your Arba Amot would work, even in other people's fields, assuming that you have rights to be there, and whatever your rights of acquisition are in those situations. But that would be actually, again, a broader scope of where Arba Amot works versus the girsa that we have, which only permits it by cases where you're outside of private ownership. It's only when you're in the Reshut HaRabim or areas that are public domain that we allow your Arba Amot to work. Amar Rava, Moti Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi Nizikin. Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi asks from Nizikin from our Mishnah. Ra'ata Mitziah V'nafalo Aleha. He sees the Mitziah and he dives on it. U'ba'acher v'chizik ba'ah. And then someone else comes and picks it up. The guy who picked it up gets it. If you say that Arba Amot work everywhere, why doesn't it, even when he dives on it, even if he's not a Kinyan from the sense that he dove on it, but he still should get it because of his Arba Amot. He should get the Kinyan here. Again, we said, oh, he didn't use the magic word. He didn't say, I'm taking a Kinyan through it. The guy asks the same question here. If the Rabbanan instituted Arba Amot work, you shouldn't have to turn it on. You shouldn't have to say Akne in order for it to work. So the same answer that we gave before, since he fell on it, that means that he is using the Nefila, the Nikne, in order to acquire it. But if he uses his Arba Amot, he turned that off because he waived that right by diving on it and says, I want to use this dive instead of my Arba Amot to acquire it. Had he used his Arba Amot to acquire it, it would have been successful because he could have utilized them in this situation. So now, what Rav Shesha does, it says that, similar to what we did in the previous case, we said that the scope, or there's a limitation to this acquisition of Dalet Amot, which is that it doesn't work in private areas. It does work in the public domain. Over here, you can't say that because here we're talking about a Mitziah. A Mitziah is out in the public domain. So why shouldn't it, his Arba Amot, work over here? So what Rav Sheshit says is that it does not work in the Reshut HaRabim because exactly the problem, Fred, that you raised, which is in the Reshut HaRabim, Dachakei Rabim. Everybody is in tight quarters. It's a dense area of people. Therefore, you're going to have overlapping Dalet Amot. For each person to have a circumference of Dalet Amot over there is not really meaningful because people are so close together, your Dalet Amot are going to be 3-4 other people within that area or overlapping your area. So that it would be something that's not meaningful in the Reshut HaRabim. Where they have in a simta, a side road, or maybe even Sidei Reshut HaRabim, where there's not as much density and there is room for you to express your Dalet Amot without overlapping with other people, that's where the Rabbanan instituted that it should work. And as Rashi describes over here, Shein Adam L'Sham Dalet Amot Miyuchadot. The problem is that in Reshut HaRabim, you can't express your Dalet Amot because your Dalet Amot, they're never going to be free of other people. And so therefore, the institution doesn't make sense there. And Siddusha makes sense in areas where you can express your Dalet Amot and not have someone else impinge on that Dalet Amot. Where it says, V'abachol makom kamar, didn't the statement of Reish Lakish say that the Chachamim instituted b'chol makom everywhere? Everywhere means everywhere. Kol makom, la'atuye tzidei b'shut rabim. Right? It doesn't mean everywhere, it just means more than you thought. So, it works in a side street for sure, but it even works in Sidei Rishut Rabim. Even though it doesn't work in Rishut Rabim, it still works on the edges of the Rishut Rabim, because the edges of the Rishut Rabim, as we've seen many times, are not heavily trafficked, partly because there are obstacles there and there's difficulty to traverse over there, partly because you start bumping up into the fences or the walls that are on the side, and so that it's only used as an overflow area. It's not used as a primary area to traverse. It's the equivalent today of like a shoulder on the road, where the shoulder is an overflow area. We don't exactly use it that way. We use it for emergencies rather than overflow. But in some places, they do use it as an overflow where people take advantage of it. But that's the idea, that the Tzidei Rishut Rabim can be utilized in that manner. And therefore, the Dalet Amot work over there because it's not as densely populated as the Rishut Rabim itself. So once we already have Reish Lakish quoting Abba Kohen Bar Gala, and we quote something else in his name through Reish Lakish, which is Ktana in la Chatzer, Vein la'arba amot. It's connected, which is that a minor does not have a chatzer, meaning that just because she owns a chatzer doesn't mean the chatzer works on her behalf. She also does not garner the dalet amot around her to work on her behalf. Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yanai amar, yesh la chatzer, her chatzer can work on her behalf to acquire, v'yesh la'arba amot. And she also has the takanat chachamim of arba amot. B'mai kamiflegei. What exactly is the shorish machloket here between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Mar savar chatzer mishum yadai it rabai. That a chatzer works because it's the equivalent of an extension of you. The chatzer is your long reach of your arm. So now, ke'eched itla yad, chatzer namitla. If you have a yad, you also have a chatzer. The girl we're speaking about here is a ktana, a minor. The chatzer is an extension of the reach of the individual. Just like a katan or ktana have a yad, meaning that their arm is attached to their body and their arm can function on their behalf, so too their chatzer can function as an extension of who they are. Right, that's according to when it works, because yad is something that is automatic. It's not something that matters whether you're a minor or not. It's something that is an extension of you. And as an extension of you, it functions. Chatzer, Dalet Amot, that works like chatzer, all of those will work. The other party believes that it's a shliach, meaning that the chatzer or your Dalet Amot are acting as your agents. So there, v'chi eichid shlichu leitla, just like a katan or ktana, who are principals, cannot establish agency because they don't have the dot, or they're too young to establish agency, chatzer nami leitla. So therefore, their chatzer can act on their behalf as a shliach, because shlichut is just not relevant by them. Mar says, mi ika man damar, chatzer mishum shlichut idrabai. Is there such an opinion who really believes the chatzer works because of shlichut? Vatanya, the source for the fact that a chatzer acquires comes from biyado, im hi matzeiti matzei biyado, if it's found in his hand. Biyado, in the alayado, that's only in his hand. Gago, chatzero, bekarfifo, mimayin. How do you know that his roof, his chatzer, his backyard, all of these areas can steal on his behalf as well, I mean they're extension of him? Tamalomar, hi matzeiti matzei mikol makom. Wherever it's found, it works. But what do you see? You see that the origins in the pasuk are from the word yad. So it seems like chatzer, or the kinyan chatzer, is an extension of yad. So how can you claim that it's shlichut? If you do say now that chatzer works because of shlichut, now you've actually established a situation in which you can have a shliach l'dvar avera, which is that your chatzer will act on your behalf to steal something. When you bring something into your chatzer, you have acquired it, it's now yours, you have stolen it. So if you lock someone else's animal up in your chatzer, you have stolen the animal. It's not because of your yad, it's not because you did any kinyan on it. The kinyan is the chatzer itself. Your chatzer is acquiring on your behalf. So now your chatzer is a shliach, and now you're accomplishing an aveira through shlichut. That's shliach l'dvar aveira. So it says, V'kaimelon, and we believe, or we know, Ein shliach l'dvar avera. There is no such thing as a shliach l'dvar avera. Rashi over here says, Damrinan le, divrei arav, dimi adami, divrei mishomim. That when we say to the agent, who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to the master? Or you're going to listen to the servant? You're going to listen to God? Or you're going to listen to this guy? So when the person establishes the agency, the individual is really not an agent because they shouldn't have listened. They shouldn't have accepted or done the agency. The question here of how it fails is not clear. It's a discussion amongst the Rishonim as well as the Achronim, which is that, why is there no Shliach L'Dvar Avera? You could argue that you can't establish the Shlichut. The Torah prevented you from establishing such agency, and it fails because it never gets off the ground. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that when you establish the agency, the agent shouldn't be taking you seriously, or you're not really serious because you know that he has an allegiance to God, and that allegiance will supersede your agency. So when you make the agency, it's not really establishing agency because you know that this person has a first allegiance to God, and therefore they're not going to listen to you. So the failure is not that you can't establish agency, it's just that when you establish agency, it's clear to you that this agent is not really a good agent for you because they can leave or walk off the job because they have prior allegiances to God. The other possibility is that it's a failure from the side of the agent's side, which is that when the agent accepts the agency, his acceptance of the agency is not a proper acceptance because of Divrei Arav, Divrei Atami, Divrei Mishomim, and therefore his acceptance of the agency fails because he doesn't really have the right to enter into such agency, or it should have been clear to him that he wasn't going to enter into such agency. So there are different ways of formulating why it fails, but we know it does fail. And the way that we learned it out, Tosfot points out, is either from Shchutei Chutz, that we learn out from Shchutei Chutz as an extrapolation, or they learn it out from the fact that Me'ila and Tevicha, if you remember in Baba Kama, we learned that there is Shliach L'Dvar Avera for Tzvicha u'mechira, and there's also Shliach L'Dvar Avera for Me'ila. Since that's Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Kechad, you have two psukim teaching you the same din, they are exclusive to themselves and not anything else. So there the Shliach L'Dvar Avera works. In no other circumstance does it work. That's the source for it. And we just spoke about a little bit about how it functions or why it is that there is no Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So now the Gemara says, Amaravina, Heichad Amrina, Dein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. When do we say there's no Shliach L'Dvar Avera? Heichad the Shliach Bar Chiyuvo. That's only when the Shliach himself is an obligated party. And since the Shliach is an obligated party, he's then subject to the rule of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mi, Shomin. Aval B'chatzer Delav Bar Chiyuvo. Mechayev Shoko, a chatzer which has no obligation to, quote-unquote, listen to God before he listens to you, over there it will work or will function as a shliach. He doesn't have that out of, you should have listened to God, not to me, because the chatzer doesn't have a choice. It's not an obligated party. It's not somebody's making such a decision. And everyone, when you make him into a shliach, when the chatzer works as a shliach, it works irrespective of the fact that it's now going to bring the principle, a problem of Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Eliyata, if that's the case, Omer Li'isha Ve'Eved, Tzu Uganvuli, says to an Eved, Knani, or to a woman, go out and steal on my behalf. They are not obligated parties. If you remember the Mishnah in Baba Kama says that when it comes to an Eved and Isha, B'giyatan Ra, if they engage with someone else, meaning they damage someone else's property, they're a bad counterparty because they don't pay. It says, Hachanami de Michaev Shulchan. So based on that, since they're not a Bar Chiyuva, that means the one who sent them is going to be responsible. Amar Tisha Ve'Eved, B'nei Chiyuva Ninu. Wait a minute. And Eved Kanani and Isha are responsible for the damage that they do. The problem here is that they can't pay. They don't have the ability to pay because they don't have independent ownership. Or if you force the Baal or the Adon to pay for it, then you're actually going to create a situation in which they can cause huge losses or damage to their master or to their husband. So what we do is we suspend the necessity to pay for the damage until they go free or until she's divorced or widowed, when she's has her personal ownership and is not under the auspices of her husband. So what we do is they are obligated parties. They are responsible for the nezek. There's just a suspension of the necessity for them to pay it back. until a later date. In Ochanami, they are b'nei chiyuv, and that's why they can't be shliach the dvar avera. Ditznan. Itgasha isha, nishtachrer eved. The woman is divorced, or the eved is freed. Chayavim l'shalem. They are responsible to make whole on the damage they did years before. Rav Sam amar, echa minanein shliach the dvar avera, echa di ba'i avid, ilo ba'i avid. When do we invoke the principle of shliach the dvar avera? That's only when you have a choice between whether you want to do it or you don't want to do it. That I had a chatzer has no choice in the matter. Whatever it does, quote-unquote, against its will, meaning that you're imposing your will on the chatzer. So this is your question. When you're talking about an inanimate object has no ability to make a choice, and therefore it can function to be a shliach l'dvar avera because it just works. It is a shliach, irrespective of what it's creating, whether it's creating an aveira, whether it's taking something that's beneficial to him, it'll always act as a shliach because it has no choice. The other hand, when you're dealing with a human being, then you're asking them to do something, the human being has a choice in the matter. Since they have a choice in the matter, they are not a shliach l'dvar aveira, because they can decide not to do it, or they should decide not to do it, and since they have that ability, they are responsible for the avirah, not the mishaleach, not the principal who sent them. Tosfot points out that in the Gemara in Baba Kama, we had a shaleach at the beira biyad shcheres shoteh v'katan patur b'dinei adam v'chayi b'dinei shamayim, that if you send a fire along with a cheres shoteh and katan, that you are patur. He says, wait a minute. Based on what we're saying here, they're not b'nei chiyuva. They're not obligated parties, and they should be able to generate shliach l'dvar avera. So why aren't you chayav in that instance for the actions that they take on your behalf? So Tosfot says there the failure is shlichut. The Cheres Shoteh V'Katan don't have dat or sufficient dat to become agents. And since they can't become agents, they cannot obligate you or make you chayav for shliach l'dvar avera. Now Tosfot points out over here that there are instances where, for instance, a shomer goes in and takes something, steals on behalf of another party. Someone says to the shomer, listen, my animal is penned up by this guy's field. Go take my animal and then you watch it. So the shomer does exactly what he's instructed. He goes to this guy's field, takes out the animal and watches it. Well, it turns out that that animal didn't belong to the person who sent them to get it. He's a bar chiyuva. Or that if he wants to do it or not do it, he has the right to do it. So why over there do we say that the person who sent them is responsible for the gneva and not the shomer himself? So Tosfot explains that you can have someone who is a bar chiyuva or someone that has that choice, but at certain times those are suspended from them or are not applicable, then they become the equivalent of inanimate objects, which is v'yesh lamar. Kevin shena shomer yodeya shehu gonev. Since the ganav here, the shomer, who was instructed to go steal, with unbeknownst to him and that he's stealing, he now becomes the equivalent of a chatzer, or an inanimate object, because of the fact that he has no idea what he's doing. So he can't be claimed to be a bar chiyuva, because he can't make a choice between divrei rav, divrei talmid. He doesn't have a choice if he wants to or not to do it, because he doesn't know not to do it. So Tosfot says that simulates the case of chatzer. So if someone sends you to steal something and you know that he wants you to steal, there's ein shliach dvar avera. Now then, if he sends you to steal something and you have no idea that you're stealing, you think it's his, he told you it's his, and you're acting on his behalf in that way, there is shliach dvar avera, because then you became the equivalent of a chatzer, or an object that doesn't have the obligation or the ability to choose in these circumstances. All right, so now the Gemara says, my binayu. What's the nafkamina between these two different reasons? The reason of whether you are a bar chiyuva, or the reason of whether you have a choice to do it or not do it. Mar says, Ike ben ayu, kohen. Damar le Yisrael, tzei v'kadesh li'isha grusha. A kohen says to Israel, go out and establish kiddushin with a divorcee. The kohen, if he did it himself directly, he would be in violation of the restriction against the kohen marrying a grusha. So over here, he doesn't do it himself, he rather does it by Yisrael. Yisrael is allowed to marry a grusha. There's no restriction for Yisrael to marry the grusha. So the messenger is not a bar chiyuva because of the fact that he's not obligated not to marry this woman. So now he's a proxy or an agent for the kohen. So as far as being a bar chiyuva is, he's not a bar chiyuva. So if that's the case, then there would be shliach l'dvar avera according to that reasoning. The other hand, di bayavid, di lo bayavid, the fact that he has a choice to do it or not do it, that he does have. He has a choice to decide whether he wants to or not do it. And in that case, he wouldn't be a shliach to dvar aveira because he's then separated himself away from the principle by the fact that he has a right to make that choice, whether to do it or not. Inami, another scenario is, ish damar lalisha akfili katan. A man says to a woman, go ahead and cut off the peyot of a katan. First of all, we learn in the Gemara in Kiddushin, we'll see this later on in Makot and Shavuot, that there is a restriction both on the individual to be makif, to cut off someone's peyot, as well as nikaf, the one whose peyot are being cut off. Both have a restriction. Whether the nikaf gets malkot will have to do with whether he helps out with the cutting off his peyot. He moves his head and he does things that facilitate it. He might have actually taken an action where he'll be chayav. Otherwise, it's a lav. She'im bo maaseh won't be chayav malkot, even though it's a sur. So now, the restriction is against an individual cutting off their own peyot, cutting off someone else's peyot, cutting off a katan's peyot, because you are both obligated to ensure your peyot are not cut off, and that you don't cut anybody else's peyot off. Then a woman is not a bar chiyuv, or bat chiyuv over here, because a woman is not subject to the din of bal takifu. She doesn't have a restriction against cutting off her peyot. Since she doesn't have a restriction against cutting off her peyot, she also doesn't have a restriction against cutting off others' peyot. So as the Rashi points out over here, you could have said that the woman's cutting a man's peyot off. The reason that it's not is because the man will never let her do that, because then he'll be in violation of the Isser as well. The only way to come up with a scenario where somebody wouldn't object is where the woman herself cuts off the peyot of a katan. So there, she's not obligated in the mitzvah by a katan, or he won't resist. That's the scenario that we brought up. So again there, if you believe that it has to do with the bar chiyuva, the woman is not a bar chiyuva. So the man who sent her then becomes a shliach l'dvar aveira. She becomes a shliach l'dvar aveira for him because she's not a bat chiyuva. The other end, if you believe is ibay of it, lobay of it, a woman has choice. She can make a decision to do it or not do it. And then it would not be shliach l'dvar aveira. So that's another nafkamina between them. So the achlishna damar kol eichen di ibay of it, lo of it, lo mechayev shocho. In the case that you say that the breakdown of shliach l'dvar aveira is caused by someone who has choice, in both of these scenarios, you had choice, and therefore there will be no shliach l'dvar aveira. So achanami, ibay avid, ibay lo avid, he had that same choice here. So therefore, lo mechayev shochan, and so therefore, over here, the sender is not chayav. Whenever the person who is a bar chiyuva, then they become an independent agent. If they're not a bar chiyuva, then they remain an agent of the sending party, and there is shliach l'dvar aveira. Hachinami, came to la b'nei chiyuva ninu. In our case here, either the Yisrael with the grusha, or the woman with the hakafat peyot of the katan, michayev shochan, there will be shliach l'dvar aveira over here, and that is one of the nafkamina between them. Alright, so first of all, Tosfa clarifies and says that the reason you have to send a Yisrael and not another Kohen is because even though another Kohen is not violating the Isser, is not a quote-unquote bar chiyuv over here, but since he's relevant, and had he married this woman, he would be a bar chiyuv over here, that's already considered to be enough as a bar chiyuv. That's number one. Number two is, the Yisrael is definitely in violation of the Ifnei Iver, lo titen mechshol. When he's mekadesh the grusha on behalf of the Kohen, he is facilitating an aveira for the Kohen, and he will be in violation of the Ifnei Iver, lo titen mechshol. Nevertheless, it still will be successful, his kiddushin, on behalf of the Kohen. Tosfos says in the end, what's the nafkamina? Because in the end, you don't get malkot. Rava says, when a Kohen establishes kiddushin with a woman, he does not get malkot. He only gets malkot once he's bo'el, once he consummates the marriage with her. So then over here, what's the nafkamina? According to both of them, you're not going to get malkot in this scenario. So why does it matter if he is or isn't a shliach l'dvar aveira? In both cases, he's doing something wrong by sending someone to do this and be mekadesh the grusha on his behalf. Question of whether he's liable or not liable really only revolves around whether he's going to get punished or not. But over here, he's not going to get malkot anyway, so there is no nafkamina in the punishment. So that's what Tosfot says, v'yishlamar, ba'al achar kach lokeh afal kiddushin. If in the end he consummates the marriage, even Rava would agree that even though you don't get malkot for kiddushin, once you do the bia retroactively, we will also give you malkot for the kiddushin. So that might be one nafkamina. Did he violate with the kiddushin? Here, was he a shliach l'dvar aveira or not a shliach l'dvar aveira? So there is a nafkamina later on. Once he's boel her, he'll get malkot for the kiddushin. Inami, Tosfot says, yesh lamar, da'af for the rova nafkamina, di'yesh le'shlichut chalin ha'kiddushin. Is shlichach l'dvar aveira, then the agent really was successful at accomplishing it on your behalf, And therefore the Kiddushin goes into effect. V'ein shlichot, ein chalina Kiddushin. But if you don't say there's a shliach l'dvar aveira, then the agent wasn't really acting on your behalf because that relationship was terminated because ein shliach l'dvar aveira. If that's the case, you were unsuccessful at establishing the Kiddushin. So that would be a big nafkamina. The nafkamina between whether you think he is a shliach l'dvar aveira or not will determine whether you were successful at generating Kiddushin or unsuccessful at generating Kiddushin. This, Balei HaTosafot, has major implications for Heter Mechira. The Chazon Ish believes that Heter Mechira is asur because of the Isur in the Torah of Lo Tichanein, Lo Titen Lehem Chanaya, you can't give them a hold on the land of Israel. Therefore, someone who participates in Heter Mechira is in violation of Lo Tichanein. And since that's the case, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. You can't make a shliach to do an aveira, and this is an aveira to sell the land of Israel to a goy. So based on that, the Chazon Ish says that heter mechira fails, not only because it's asur, but since it's asur, as Tosfot says over here, and there's no shliach to dvar aveira, ain't chala kiddushin. So over here, when you establish the rabbanut to go sell the land on your behalf, you're establishing a shliach to do something that's asur. And the way Tosfot frames it over here in the second part of the Tosfot, Ein shliach l'dvar aveira means that it doesn't work at all. Your agency is terminated. It's abrogated completely. And that means that when the farmer has the rabbanut sell the field on his behalf, then they can't function as shlichim because they are a shliach l'dvar aveira. That is one of the ways that the Chazon Ish says that not only is heter mechira problematic, it doesn't even work. So that I don't think it works as an issur d'oraita, but the way that it's being done fails, so the heter mechira doesn't go through at all. There are a number of issues with the sheet of the Chazon Ish, one of which is, this is only one day on Tosafot. Tosafot at front did not say that. He only brings this as an inami, so it's only one day on Tosafot. So he's relying on that one day on Tosafot to say this. This narrow sheet doesn't have to be, you can rely on the other sheet, and then it would work. And even if you're shliach l'dvaraveira, the shlichut would go through, and therefore it would work. That's number one. Number two is, he's also relying on the fact that, or are those positions that believe selling the land to the goy is a violation of the issur d'oraita of Lo Tichaneim, even in this scenario where it's short duration, where it's not an oved avodah zarah, it's not one of the shiva avamim, whatever the other qualifications that we have of Lo Tichaneim, he still thinks it applies. The third thing is that they've now improved the situation with heter mechira, and they no longer do it as a shliach. They no longer do it where the rabbanu becomes a shliach for the farmer. They have the farmer contract directly with the goy in order to sell his land. So they avoid the problem of the Chazon Ish that ein shliach l'dvar aveira and the whole thing falls apart. Over here, the farmer's directly contracting with the goy. Over the years, they made a number of improvements in heter mechira. This is one of the major improvements to get rid of the claims of the Chazon Ish that it's not working because of this problem of shliach l'dvar aveira. They eliminated the aspect of shlichut. They've done other things to strengthen the heter mechira over time to make it that it's a much more halachically appropriate and efficacious mechanism. This was one of the big changes that they made because of this Tosafot to avoid that claim of the Chazon Ish. Gemara continues, Umi ikar l'man d'amar chatzer la mishum yada, it rabbi. Is there anybody who says that chatzer doesn't work because of yada? It's like the similar statement that we said before. Does anybody think it's shlichut? Can't be shlichut, it has to be yada. Gemara says, no, it can't be shlichut. Now the Gemara says, is there anybody who doesn't think it's yada? When it comes to the woman's acceptance of a get, it says over there that you have to minatana to get the yada, you have to put it into her hand. How do you know that these other areas also work to accept the get on her behalf? He gives it to her no matter what. No, you're right. When it comes to a get, everyone agrees that the chatzer is functioning as a yad of the woman, as an extension of her reach, because of the gzeret hakatu, which says, v'natan biyada. And clearly, this limud is not a limud of shlichut, because the Gemara learns in other places, v'shilach v'shilcha, that they learn from that both the baal and the woman have a right to appoint agents or have shlichut. So the issue of shlichut was already covered somewhere else. So it's clear here that the Gemara's limud for the chatzer's successful acquisition on behalf of the woman is not working because of shlichut, it's working because of yada. And that's very clear here, and everyone would agree to that. There is no argument about the fact that here chatzer is mishum yadan, not mishum shlichut. Ki pligei li'in mitzia. When it comes to mitzia, that's where they argue. Mar sabra yofin mitzia miget. One of them believes that we learn out mitzia from the paradigm of get, and just like by get it's chatzer is mishum yada, so too by mitzia it will be mishum chatzer mishum yada, and therefore the ketana has a chatzer and also has the dalet amot that are going to work for her, or whatever her chatzer can acquire on behalf of her when it comes to mitzia, because the ketana has a yad, and since she has a yad, the yad will work just like it works by get. It'll work in this scenario. My sefer lo yofina and mitzia miget. The other one says no, mitzia is separate from get. Get is isur. Get is a gzera to katuf. But when it comes to transactions, when it comes to mitzia, there it's not mishum yad, it's mishum shlichut. And as Rashi notes over here, we don't learn out mamona misura. But gabi mamona chatzer mim himatzeit rabbe. And himatzeit himatzeit is learned out of chatzer, is learned out of that pasuk by Gneva. And we're going to say that that functions with shlichut. Get functions as yad, and mitzia or gneva functions as a shlichut. And the reason the Torah placed it by gneva, or explained it over there by gneva, is to teach you, even though there's ein shliach ledvar avera, still your chatzer is successful to work over there, because there is shliach ledvar avera for your chatzer. The Rabbi Akiva Eiger questions Rashi's conclusion over here, the fact that it's written over there to teach us that there is shliach ledvar avera, because Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that without the logic that we just put together, that chatzer should be different than a normal shliach ledvar avera, you wouldn't assume that the Torah says that chatzer is mishum shlichut. If you were unable to distinguish between chatzer and a normal person, then you would say ein shliach ledvar avera, and you'd be forced to say that chatzer is mishum yad. It's only because you have these other logical arguments that you can say chatzer is different. Once you can say chatzer is different, then the conclusion is that chatzer can be mishum shlichut. And so Rabbi Akiva Eiger leaves it as a tzarchion on Rashi, because you can't say that the pasuk's teaching you that there is shliach ledvar avera for chatzer, because that's not true. Without the logical arguments to explain why that's the case, we wouldn't have assumed that. It's only because now we have the logical arguments to say either lav bayichayuva or it's not a choice-making entity. That's why it works. Now, once you know that, then you can explain the pasuk in that manner. It's not that the pasuk's teaching you that there is shliach ledvar avera. And so Rabbi Akiva leaves this statement of Rashi as its arachiyun. Mar says, v'ibay teima, tana kuliyama lo pligi de'ofina mitziya miget. Tano is the one where she has the ability to accept or get in her yad. Even though you can't divorce a shota, the reason you can't divorce a shota is because she doesn't leave. When she leaves, she comes back again. A ktana, as long as she knows how to be shomer gita, she can accept the get. And if she can accept the get, her yad could also accept the get. And since she has this yad that the Torah teaches us about by get, we'll also extend that to mitziah. But hacha b'katan kamiflege, they argue about a katan. Marsav yalin and katan miktana. One of them says we learn out a katan, a minor, from a girl that is a minor, because she has the din of get. And so from her, we know her din, and now we extrapolate that din to a katan. Umarsav lo yofin and katan miktana. The other one says we don't learn a katan from a ktana. That's a din by ktana. The din of katan is separate, and we won't learn out that chatzer works for her yad for the katan. And some say that they were addressing different situations and they're not arguing. Either Rabbi Yochanan, who says that they do have a chatzer and they do have arba amot, was talking about a ktana. And Rish Lakish, who was saying in the name of Abba Kohen Bardala, says that a ktana in la chatzer ve'in la arba amot, was speaking about a katan. Rabbi Yochanan was speaking about a ktana where it works, and Rish Lakish was speaking about a katan where it doesn't work. Or that Rabbi Yochanan was speaking about a case of get, and therefore it does work. And Shlakish was speaking about a case of mitzia, where it doesn't work. So we can make it that they're not arguing, they're just speaking about those different scenarios. And Tosua points out over here, even the ability of the katan or the ktana to have their mitzia work, that we learned it out from get, can only be midrabanan. Because how yofina nave midrabanan? We see over here that we learn out mitzia from get, that can only be at a rabbinic level. The fact that a katan has the ability to acquire an object is only an institution, the Rabbanan, mishum darchei shalom. So if that's the case, then obviously, if they can only acquire a mitziah, midrabanan, then their yad, which is an extension of them, can only do as much as they could do themselves, which is a din derabonon. And so therefore, the inyan lad lo pligi the alfinan el inyan chatzer. In terms of yad, according to this, they don't argue about the fact that a katan or a katana has a yad. The only question is, does chatzer have a din of yad for the katan or the katana? Does it function in that way for them? They don't disagree that they have the yad, but that yad can only be as good as them. What's them is mi divrei him, only mi derabanan. All right, so we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph.